The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth.
You're listening to Truth Infusion. And now for your host, David Markham.
I am so excited to welcome you guys on board today. Welcome to Truth Infusion. I am David Markham. He is Jason Edge.
All day long.
And he is in the studio with us today because today is a question and answer day, Truth Seekers. And we like to take questions from the listeners from time to time and spend a show just digging into something that is on your heart, on your mind. I think we've got a good one today.
Yeah.
I think we've got one that I know I've heard many people ask me general questions related to this topic. The question today comes from Tracy, Texarkana, Arkansas. And Tracy is asking, is a Mormon a Christian? And with the recent election, with the rise of Mitt Romney, came a rise of questions about Mormonism, because he's a devout Mormon. And a lot of times I've been asked over the last few months, what do Mormons believe? Great question.
Mm-hmm.
We live in a day and an age where we're really very relativistic. And for those of you that aren't familiar with that term, it just basically means that truth is what you want it to be. There's no absolute truth. You just grab a hold of something that you like, you know, your flavor of the month, and that's okay. That's the way truth works in 2013. There's no bottom line. There's no, you know, words have no real meaning. Truth has no real meaning. Just be happy and seek after it.
Well, that's true. Even in the military, when I was in basic training, they would ask you, you know, what do you want on your dog tags, your ID tags? What religion are you affiliated with? And at the time, I wasn't saved, so I put, you know, Baptist, I think, is what I put.
Yeah.
I didn't know. But some soldiers would actually put Jedi Knights.
Oh, really? Well, in today's world, if that's what tickles your fancy,
right? You just, as long as you believe in something,
right,
you're a religion.
But the truth is this: where most people today would say that on the surface, all these world religions and ideas are maybe a little different on the surface, but in the guts of the thing, we're all basically the same. Well, you know what? The opposite is actually true. On the surface, you may find some similarities. When you get down under the hood, the differences are vast. And you can't say that everything is basically the same and leads to the same end result if, honestly, when you take a good look at it, the facts are that everything is very, very different.
Mm-hmm.
Dramatically and drastically opposed to one another. Sometimes some religions or faith systems one to another. So, great question, Tracy, especially with the rise of Mitt Romney and the questions that brought. We want to look today at Mormonism. And here's what I want to do. I'm just going to show you the facts. I want to talk a little bit about Christianity for a second, and then we're going to go into the facts as the Mormons teach it. I'm not going to say this is what I think they're after. I want to show you exactly what they say. And then, Truth Seekers, you as the listener can take the truth and make your own decision. So I'm not even going to necessarily say this is my opinion. I think you'll know what that is. But I want you to see the truth, and then you can easily find God's will in that, Truth Seekers. So that's the plan for today. Counterfeit money. Our government trains officials to determine whether money is legitimate or not, counterfeit. You know how they do that? Have ever told you this?
No.
It's a pretty interesting process. They never let them see counterfeit money. What they do is they make them study to the smallest detail the real thing till they know it like the back of their hand, as the line goes. When they train them to know the real thing, up, down, inside, and out, they can easily identify counterfeit. So here's the thing. If we know Christianity, the truth, the real thing, that sounded pretty pretty bad.
Sorry,
the real thing, then when you see something that's counterfeit, you identify it because you recognize that that's not the truth. So that's what I want to do first. Here's the thing. Christianity, for something to be labeled as Christianity, I just pulled out my my notes here. It has to pass one of two tests. It has to pass both tests, actually, for something to be considered Christian. It has to pass the doctrine test and the experience test. All right, and here's kind of how I was hoping to present this. Doctrinally, now what is a doctrine? A doctrine is a teaching or the way that a religion or a political stance on a particular topic. So as Christians, we have many, many doctrines. Help me name some. The doctrine of man, doctrine of God, Satan, and then other things like justification.
Yeah, sanctification.
Sin nature. Yeah. These are all topics that we have a doctrinal belief on as Christians. There are certain doctrinal topics that, if it's going to be labeled as Christian, has to remain true. And here's the three that I think are obviously valid. There may be some others we could argue about that need to be in this group. Number one, God. The way we see and believe and hold up God is very important to whether or not it's Christian. God is recognized by Christianity as the sovereign creator being. There's none like him. There's none above him. There's none really even close to him. He is sovereign above all things. And number two, as Christians, we represent him as a Trinitarian being. And here, that sounds pretty theological. Here's what it means. One God, three personalities. One God, three personalities. One being with three distinct personalities. The Father, God the Father. Notice, God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. And we recognize that's how God is made up through the Scripture. Number two is the doctrine of Jesus Christ. Vastly important. If you mess this one up, then you're way off base. Jesus is the unique God-man. 100% God, 100% man. He is the begotten Son of God, come to earth to save us of our sins. But the most important word here is divine.
Yeah.
Jesus is divine. And then the other one that I want to point out is, if you got to get this right or you're completely wrong, is the way we view our Bible and Scripture. We view it as the Word of God, infallible. It is perfect. It was passed down to us through the prophets inspired by the Holy Spirit, the apostles inspired by the Holy Spirit, and we have the complete Word and plan of God laid out for us in the Bible. It is His, literal, His Word, His heart, His love letter to us. It is personally written for us to know Him.
Yep.
In those three areas, there's other doctrines that you can pull in and out, but if you don't get those three right, you're not going to pass the doctrine test for Christianity. And then there has to be an experiential test for Christianity. And here's the bottom line on this one. Salvation comes by faith. In the cross, in the sacrificial death of Jesus, when He came here and died, salvation comes by faith, believing in the cross, and we also believe that that is the only way to get to relationship with God. So if you get the doctrine is right, especially those three areas, and the experience is right, and how that happens and what happens, then you can qualify that as a Christian belief, a Christian church. Did I say that good?
I think that's pretty good.
Okay, great. So let's see. Maybe in the rest of this segment, I want to point out something else you and I were discussing earlier. I don't think this, I've never heard this really taught to me. I've never heard it. I'm sure it has been. But I think a lot of people don't understand the difference in words like denomination, sect. What is a sect? We've heard that said, but what does it really mean? And cult, you know,
yeah.
We pass around that the David Koresh deal out in Waco with the big standoff, and we call them a cult. Well, what makes them a cult?
What classifies?
Yeah, good question. Or what about world religion? That's another one. Some people would say, well, this is a world religion. Well, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. What makes a world religion? A world religion has, there's really only a few. Christianity is one. Islam, the Buddhists are one as a world religion, and you were going to say
the Jewish
religion. That's the world religion. Just a few of those. Then there are other recognized religions, but they're not world religions, like Satanism.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, what is a denomination? Now, we know that within the Christian church, I was looking, then this will blow your mind. The other day, I read some stats from a Christian think tank. They've identified over 41,000 Christian denominations in the world today.
Well, who's right?
I don't know, but we have messed this thing up. Have we not?
That's right.
I mean, look, in Acts, God said, you're my church, and you know, here's what you do. Go out and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, baptize them, and disciple them. And we went from that to over 41,000 flavors of Christianity. And truth seekers, I mean, really, we've messed this thing up. That's not God's plan. What's the difference in 41,000 of them? The difference is this. Denominations hold to those core beliefs of God, Christ, and Scripture. They all have to line up with that. But on the other doctrines, there may be differences. Say, on the doctrine of the sin nature. Some denominations say, once we get saved, we don't have a sin nature.
Yeah.
They teach that. Some say that we have one indwelling even after salvation. Okay, that's a doctrinal difference. That created a different denomination. And we're humans, and we're goofy, and we have done this so many times that we've divided the body of Christ over 41,000 times.
Sometimes we like to tell God, you know, he was wrong in the Bible, and you know.
Ultimately, it comes to that. Yeah. This is the way I like it, Lord, yeah. And so we're going to make our own church out of this. So that's a denomination. A sect. This is probably of the three words, denomination, sect, cult. That's probably the one used the least. A sect is a branch of Christianity that holds to the core beliefs, okay? They hold to the right idea of God, of Christ, of Scripture. They'll have differences on other doctrines. But what identifies a sect is they have some kind of outlying ideal that sets them on the extreme fringe of Christianity, really separates them, just something kind of out of left field. And the best example I think that people are aware of are the Amish. They believe in God, in Christ. They believe in salvation. They believe in the Bible. But they also have this separatism where the Bible tells us to be in the world, but not of the world. I mean, how else are we going to save the world if we're not in among them? But the Amish pull out of the world, and they separate themselves from other Christian beliefs or denominations, from the world itself, as much separation as they can possibly lay out. And that kind of sets them on the outside of Christianity. They have the core beliefs, but they are a different kind of thing because of that extra belief they've thrown in there. That's a sect. And then you have a cult. Now, what identifies a cult? A cult may have some semblance of understanding of the core beliefs of Christianity. In other words, most cults recognize the Bible in some way. Most cults recognize Jesus in some way, but they don't recognize it in line with the core beliefs of Christianity. It's a perverted, changed idea. And most cults bring in a different holy book or multiple holy books. Most cults change what the Bible says about hell and heaven to fit their own thing. Salvation, most always in a cult, comes by a different way than the cross, faith in the cross and Jesus and what he did there. So there we have these different. Now, why did I go into that as we close this segment? Because a denomination, in most cases, can be rightly labeled Christian. As long as they hold to those core beliefs, that's what makes us a Christian. A sect, a lot of times, will be Christians, just weird ones, just kind of a different duck. A cult walks away from the core principles that the Word lays out, the core principles about Christ and God, and so whether or not they can be labeled as a Christian comes into great question. Does that make sense?
I think so.
So when we get back, we're going to specifically talk about the beliefs of Mormonism and see where they sit. I have a little assignment for you. I want you to go to truthinfusion.com. If you look on the homepage, you'll see the area where you can put your information in to receive our monthly newsletter. Now, this will give you all the recent updates and the things going on in the ministry so that you'll know what to pray for and what to expect in the upcoming days and weeks from Truth Infusion. God bless you. Until next time, you keep seeking the truth.
Hey, Truth Seekers, this is Jennifer. I wanted to take a moment to remind you of something. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I guess the children's song is true. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Okay, until next time, you keep seeking the truth.
All right, Truth Seekers, welcome back. If you weren't with us in the first half of this show, we're taking on a question from Tracy in Texarkana, Arkansas, and he's asking very bluntly, straightforward, are Mormons Christians? So we spent the first half of the show kind of setting the stage for a discussion of the beliefs of another faith system and to identify whether or not it falls within lines of Christian boundaries. And Jason Edge is in the studio today. I always like to pull him in when we do Q&A stuff. It's just kind of fun. It's a little bit off the beaten path of what I'm normally doing, and I enjoy having you in here. So welcome aboard again.
Glad to be here.
Let's get into this. We identified in the first half three core doctrines or principles that make up the Christian faith. One was God, how we view, teach, and see God. One was Christ, who is the central figure in Christianity. Christ is the root word of Christianity. And the other one was the Holy Bible itself. A Christian has to maintain the correct understanding of these three areas in order to rightly be labeled a Christian and to be able to follow the rudimentary foundation of the Bible itself and the Word of God. We've got to fall right in those three areas. So what I want to do, if it's okay with you, Master Edge, is I want to look at what the Mormon faith believes in those three areas.
You have my permission.
Thank you, sir. What I want to do is look at what the Mormons say about God, what the Mormons say about Jesus, what the Mormons say about the Bible. And then a logical determination ought to be able to be made by anyone. I'm not going to put my opinion in these next few minutes. I'm going to just give you the facts.
Lay out the facts.
Let the facts say what the facts say. So let's look at the Mormons and how they view God and the doctrine of God according to the Mormon faith. A few things we'll want to point out. There's one of their holy books in Mormonism is called The Pearl of Great Price. That's the title of the book. It's very important. They get a lot of their outlying unique doctrines are outlined in The Pearl of Great Price. In The Pearl of Great Price, we learn that the world, according to Mormonism, was fashioned by, now this is in quotes, by the gods, with an S, okay? Joseph Smith, which is the founding Latter-day Saint, he's recognized as the prophet that God gave the truth of the Word for modern times and really reestablished the church. That came through Joseph Smith. Joseph Smith preached that, now listen to this. God, I'm going to read this. God was once as we are, and that we may become as He is, a God. Okay, let me say that again, because this is very telling in their belief system. God was once as we are. Joseph Smith talking about himself and the people he was preaching to. And we may become as He is, a God. Now, the idea of God for the Mormons is this. God is the father is an exalted man who was granted the ability to rule over the earth. So he was once a man, now he's lifted to the level of God, and in that he has a mother and a father. He has a wife, and we'll talk about this in a second. Through he and his wife, Jesus was born. But ultimately, he is the creator of all the spirits of those who will eventually be born on earth. So he is our father, created our spirits. We're born on earth. And then if we do the right things according to the Mormon principles and the good works of Mormonism, then we can one day establish ourselves in the same position as God, who is really one of many gods. So the truth is this. Robert Millay, who is a Mormon figurehead, preacher, wrote that the Trinity, we talked about God being Trinitarian, is composed of three beings. Christians say one being, three personalities. Mormons say three beings, three different gods. Does that make sense? So they don't teach that God is a Trinitarian God. They teach that God is a tri-theist God, three gods. And they are three of many gods, ultimately. So very different take on the idea of God. Now let's look at Christ, central figure in Christianity. It all falls apart if Jesus is not in the mix as far as Christianity goes. They preach that Jesus was conceived as the literal Son of God between God and his wife. He was the firstborn, a spiritual son. The secondborn was, do you know who the secondborn spiritual son was?
Was it Satan?
Lucifer. Mm-hmm. You're right. He and Jesus are brothers, according to the Mormon faith. They don't preach that Jesus himself was unique because there's many sons of gods. Not the way that Christianity says he is the unique, only begotten son. Because ultimately, we can all reach the Godhead position. So there's not any uniqueness there of Jesus per se. He was just the first of God's kids. That's the unique part of what they call him. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Like I said, he was a physical union, physical sex between God and his wife, and Jesus was born. And they do say that he was a man that lived a perfect life. He was married. He had children. And he was exalted to godhood because of his resurrection. Now, as far as the death of Christ, let's make a quick point about that. Mormons don't believe that they're saved by the death of Jesus Christ and his atoning death. They don't believe that his death atoned for sin. They believe that they are brought to a God level by obedience to Mormon faith, the Mormon principles, the Mormon rules. If you obey the Mormon rules, then you can ascend to godhood. It doesn't come through the death of Jesus. They do preach that Christ's death canceled the penalty of death itself, but it didn't actually purchase salvation. That comes through being a devout Mormon worker. Okay, so quite a different contrast in their ideas of Christ. Let's talk about the scripture itself. This is a big one, because ultimately this is where every faith system gets their doctrines, is from their holy books. Okay, Christianity, we have one, is the Word of God, is the Bible. We base all of our understanding, teachings, doctrines on that. The Mormons follow the Bible as scripture. They use it as one of their four holy books. But they use it alongside the other three, not ahead of the other three. And really, a couple of the other three take more precedence than the Bible itself. But they have three other books. One is the one that most people are familiar with, if they're familiar at all, is the Book of Mormon. Then they have one called Doctrines and Covenants. And then they have, as I mentioned earlier, the Pearl of Great Price. And a lot of their unique, their doctrines and teachings that are unique compared to Christianity come from the Pearl of Great Price. But these were all laid out, you know, with the Book of Mormon was given to Joseph Smith, and he was the founding father of those. Joseph Smith is, like I said, considered the number one prophet, and he founded the major teachings of the church. So in this process, and that is just really very skeleton. That's just the bones, bare bones, more so to speak. But you can see vast, striking differences in God, Jesus in the Bible, which is difficult for me to understand, and I know it would be for you. Jesus said of himself, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. And then over and over and over, he alluded to the fact that the reason he had come was to seek and save that which was lost, to die on the cross, to create atonement for sin and opportunity for relationship. That's what the Bible says. So the Mormon believers take the Bible and somehow eradicate those teachings of Christ, apply their own, and come up with their faith system. So, truth seekers, in the last few minutes, here's what this comes down to. You look at those core beliefs of what Christianity proclaims. You look at the core beliefs of what Mormonism proclaims. And I'll ask you, Jason, can you logically say they're the same thing?
No.
I'm not even, let's don't even apply opinion here.
Right.
Just look at the facts. Christians say this, Mormons on these key areas say something strikingly different. It's not even close to the same. There may be the same names. They may say the word God or the same, or same say Jesus, but they're far from the same Jesus.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, Tracy, you ask, is a Mormon a Christian? I'm going to say this. A Mormon is a Mormon.
Right.
I can't see within myself how you can have such strikingly opposed beliefs to the core foundation of what it means to be Christian and also claim that you are Christian. Now, I want to end with this thought. Are Mormons good people?
Well, yeah.
Yes. They do great, good things. We saw with Mitt Romney in the election, they continue to list the services that he provided for people around him, good people. But here's the bottom line. Jesus Christ did not come to earth to make bad people good.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ came to earth to make dead people live.
That's right.
We were born dead in our sin, and what we needed was a Savior. Mormons don't believe Jesus came to provide salvation. They believe that their works makes them good people that ultimately will allow them to ascend to a God state. Jesus didn't come for that. If that's what you want to do, that's your business. Jesus came to take your dead heart and make it live. That's faith in the cross of Jesus Christ. That's what makes you a Christian. And that's how I see it.
That's right.
Till next time, you keep seeking the truth.
Thank you for listening to Truth Infusion. Please visit Truth Infusion Ministries on the web at truthinfusion.com. Once again, that's truthinfusion.com. We also would like to hear from our listeners. Email us truthinfusion@gmail.com.